Hi, this is Norm Augustinus. I'm sorry I missed your call. After tone, leave your name and number. I'll get back to you.
Hi, Norman. I hope you get this message. I want to tell you a story. When I was a teenager, my parents entered me into the all-girls jack-o'-lantern carving contest organized by my high school. The contest was held in the parking lot of the high school. There were 8 girls selected from my high school. The boys' competition was held on another date. Norm, it was held on a Saturday morning. The parking lot was closed off to all cars for the event. There were 8 booths. One girl would sit in each booth and carve their jack-o'-lantern. The metal-framed booths were made of lightweight aluminum, and they were covered in white fabric. The fabric was draped over all sides of the individual carving booths. Truth be told, they looked like ordinary bedsheets. The bedsheets ensured that none of the competing girls would catch a glimpse of another girl's jack-o'-lantern and copy their design. Norm, when all the girls were inside their carving booths, a horn sounded, and all the girls got to work. The girl that carved the best jack-o'-lantern would win $500, and they would get a certificate suitable for framing. In addition to the prize money and certificate, the jack-o'-lantern would be displayed on a stand in my high school cafeteria. When the horn sounded, everyone began carving their pumpkin. Norman, the instant I plunged my knife into the pumpkin, a dense white smoke spewed out of the pumpkin. Before I had a chance to call out for help, I suddenly found myself rubbing my crotch and squeezing my nipples. And then I blacked out. But how? Why? When I regained consciousness, a police officer told me that my carving booth had been deliberately placed directly over a manhole cover.
They put your booth over a manhole cover so that they could get to your juicy cunt. One time when I was just a kid, I was flying a kite. It was really up there. Out of nowhere, a drone suddenly flew over me, and it grabbed a hold of my kite string, and it wrapped my kite string around my body. I fell to the ground. I looked like I had been immobilized by the silk sprayed from a spider. A handicapped old dude in a wheelchair rolled over to me. He had the radio-controlled drone controller clipped to the arm of his wheelchair, and he lifted my head up using my hair, and he made me blow him. When I tried to escape, the bastard mowed me down with his wheelchair. Wherever I go, I always look behind me again and again because I'm afraid someone is going to mow me down with a wheelchair. The nerve endings of my upper and lower lip died. That's why it looks like I've got duck lips. Can you hear my lisp when I talk? Nobody hires a duck lip dude that has a lisp. Someday I'm going to find him and I'm going to kill him. That was a bad scene, man.
The police officer said that the white smoke that came out of the pumpkin as I pushed my knife blade into it was knockout gas mixed with industrial Spanish fly gas. The officer told my parents that hundreds of big-dicked men climbed up a ladder directly below my carving booth, and they pushed the manhole cover aside and they came into my booth. I was told that the men worked on the assembly line at the Ford plant, situated 300 feet from my high school.
These assembly line workers possessed enormous testicle bags chocked full of bubbling cum.
The assembly line workers used the underground sewer pipes as a tunnel to get to my fresh genitals. Norm, these big-dicked factory rats pulled a train on my young tight pussy, and they also crammed my gorgeous asshole. The line men licked my tits, too. The extreme licking of my tits caused my jugs to overheat. But luckily, breast milk dripped from my nipples and cooled my cans down. The Ford Motor Company assembly line workers were lonely and hungry for pussy. When the authorities found me, I was naked and suspended off the ground while I was inside my pumpkin carving booth. My legs were spread and pulled back. Jism was dripping out of my asshole and pussy. My eyes were rolled into the back of my head, and my head was slumped forward. My mouth was open. The assembly line workers used ropes attached to the aluminum frame of my booth to construct a very functional hammock-style sex chair. Norm, someone took a photograph of me hanging inside of my pumpkin carving booth. My gash and shithole were pointed directly at the camera. Semen dripped from the ceiling of my booth. My enormous meaty jugs hung awkwardly from my chest. I came hundreds of times, and I moaned aloud hundreds of times too. Norm, there was semen dripping off my carving knife and pumpkin. According to the authorities, the big-dicked Ford Motor Company assembly line workers exited the carving booth the same way they came in. They went down the ladder. And then using flashlights, these men walked through the sewer and they found their way back into the Ford plant. When my mother picked me up at the hospital, she said,
"What is the matter with you? When will this shit end? Are you a nymphomaniac? Is that what's going on here? You're a nympho? Your dad and I entered you into your high school jack-o'-lantern carving contest because we thought it would be good for you. I mean, what could go wrong? All you had to do was sit inside a booth and turn a pumpkin into a jack-o'-lantern. $500 is a lot of money. At Christmas time, we could have shown everyone your certificate for carving the best jack-o'-lantern. But you blew it. You were the only girl in the competition that found a way to take hundreds of dicks belonging to horny assembly line workers at the Ford plant. I'm disgusted and so is your father. There's a photograph of you going around. In the photo, your makeup is running down your face while you hang from ropes inside the booth. You look like a naked, drugged-out sow. When you get home, find your grandmother's douchebag. The douchebag is in her bedroom on the shelf next to the Nina, Pinta, and Santa Maria. Those were Christopher Columbus's ships. Your grandmother loved Columbus. As you know, her bedroom is exactly like it was when she was alive. Fill your grandmother's 1940s genuine rubber douchebag with vinegar and flush out your cunt and then go to bed. You're grounded.
Norm, I am telling you this story in the hopes that it helps your female listeners. Girls, if ever someone enters you into a high school jack-o'-lantern carving competition, think twice. You may be rendered unconscious by a pumpkin chocked full of Spanish fly and knockout gas. I was drilled by an army of assembly line workers when all I really wanted was a check for $500 and a certificate that was suitable for framing. It happened to me. Now I must go. Norm, I call all the time, but you never phone me back. What gives? Can you please excuse me? I want to smoke a Ziploc bag full of shit while I pump off my blood-engorged clitoris using my pointer finger and middle finger. Of course, I'll be doing all of this while I lie atop my deceased grandmother's cum-covered spring mattress. Bye.
End of messages.
He wishes he could have killed his grandmother. His mother says everything he touches turns to shit. He's been to jail, spent 24 hours in a mental institution, and unsuccessfully tried to kill himself 3 times. And now, live via the internet, Norm Augustinus.
So, when I wake up in the morning, I'm not like you. I'm not like anybody, probably. Maybe you're not like anybody. I wake up in the morning, and the first thing I do is I feel around my bed. Under the covers, the sheet, the blanket, the mattress cover, whatever it is, a fitted sheet, a heated blanket, whatever you have, I feel around, and I feel around, and I'm feeling around for pubic hairs. And I always find shitloads of pubic hairs. I mean, handfuls and handfuls of pubic hairs. Unlike you, unlike possibly your old lady, I don't remove the pubic hairs. I leave the pubic hairs there. And there's 2 reasons I leave the pubic hairs there. One of the reasons are, is I've got a Ford F-100. The Ford 100 has a straight six engine. It's ancient. I like it because it's a pickup truck. I can fix anything in the goddamn thing. It's a straight six. I removed that engine once using ropes once I disconnected everything from it. Using ropes under the engine and lifted it out after I took the hood off. And I fixed anything I don't want it. I just bring it in the goddamn house. I got it in the kitchen on a motor stand, an engine stand, and I work on everything on it. On this fucking Ford 100, this pickup truck. And now, how do I tie that in? Why is that tied into the pubic hairs? This is the one number one thing. It's tied into the pubic hairs in my bed, me collecting the pubic hairs up, because this truck, this F-100, has a cabin filter in it. Early cabin filter. And the cabin filter, and it is supposed to be, say you're driving through the woods, you're driving down a dirt road, anything you've got on, you're blowing the fan on, you're blowing, if you got air conditioning possibly, this doesn't have air conditioning. It blows it through the car and into the cabin filter so that you're not breathing that dust in. Well, I take this cabin filter, which is easy to take out. It's another simple thing. It's not like this goddamn junk today that's designed to draw everybody in. Please look at me. Look at me. Where are you going? You just passed me. Please look at me. Look at me here now. $1,000 car payment and $300-$400 a month in insurance. Please look at me. They pay $18,000 a year for fucking insurance and car payments or $30,000, whatever it is, just so you look at them. Can you imagine something like that? Yeah, I'll look at you. Come on a little closer. I'm going to hang my cock out my fucking power window or my pump window that I roll down myself manually, and I'm going to pump off into your fucking eyes, both of them, as you're driving past me in your expensive car. Please look at me. That's what they want you to do. Look at me. Here I go. They want you to think that somehow you've got money, you've got super intellectual powers that's enabling you to buy these cars, and that means she's better than you. She's not better than you. She just somehow got financed that one time. She'll never own another car again. She has a credit score of $300 and owes $100,000 in fucking bills. She's not better. The next car she gets going to be a fucking old Prius with a fucking battery in it that she got for $2,000, and she got to put a $2,000 battery in it, a new battery, refresh battery, whatever they call it. That's her next car, and then she won't care about getting looked at anymore. But I take these pubic hairs, and I rebuild the cabin filter in my F-100, the pickup truck. You just pull the old pubic hairs out, and then you put the new pubic hairs in, and I press them into this cardboard frame, and I push them in there, and jam them all in, and they knot each other up, and it looks just like a fucking furnace filter, just like a regular cabin filter. Maybe it's even better, and why could it be even better that I'm using this on my fucking pickup truck? Because the pussy hairs on a chick's pussy are designed to filter the air. Nobody knows this. They're stupidly getting their pubic hairs cut off so that they can appear like they're 14 years old. I got a little virgin pussy. Look at, there's no pubic hairs. It's a little fucking girl. Yeah, like a virgin. Woo, touched from the very first time. That's what they like you to think. She ain't no virgin, man. Gallons and gallons of cum is pumped and poured out of that pussy every year. Gallons and gallons. Her DNA from the inside walls of her sugar walls of her pussy, inside there when the cock goes in, that DNA is probably on 100,000, 200,000 men's cocks right now, walking around the DNA at the base of the cock. They never washed that far. There it is. DNA all over his cock, her from inside her pussy. Touch for the very first of virgin. And that's what it is, isn't it? I make these filters from the pubic hairs in my bed. Isn't it wonderful? Air filters that you can make from pubic hairs. And why? Because the Lord built the pubic hairs on a chick's pussy to absorb, to block, to filter the air in case you have to go down there. Say you go down there. You lost your fucking ring. You lost your college ring, university ring. You got an 18-karat gold university ring. You dropped it. It went down there. You're going down there, getting near her pussy, and that thing will filter the stench of her pussy while you're down there. Don't let them cut off their pubic hairs. You're going to have to smell fish times 100, and you go down there, nothing but goddamn the worst stench you could ever smell. You ever notice when someone dies, you think this is not... They've done studies on this. That the people who work in funeral homes are more than ever a woman. She's a woman embalmer, the funeral director. It's because they can't smell a stench of nothing, the stench of death, because it's so similar to the stench of pussy that they can work in that environment, can't they? I can work in this environment. Pussy stench doesn't bother me, but that's why the pubic hairs are down there, to save you. Don't ever get near some slut with her pubic hairs cut off, because you'll regret it. You'll smell that pussy full strength, and you'll tell yourself this. I've said it a billion times. I'm never going down there again, man. Man, it's worse than Vietnam. I was in a helicopter, H-1, a helicopter. I was a door gunner, fucking M-60 gun. I was at the door. And, man, we did everything you could imagine. I never smelled no stench like that. Nothing. Had things called 310s. They were little tiny bombs, practically portable fucking atomic bombs. And you could blow up a whole goddamn village, just stench everything, the shit. It would blow it up, and then their colons would explode, and all this shit went all over the H-1, the bottom of the helicopter. We flew about 300 feet. There'd be nothing but fecal matter all over the bottom of the helicopter and on the windows on the side and in the front of the helicopter, covered in shit. And it never smelled like pussy like I've smelled myself, man. Never smelled like that. I'd rather take that over going down raw without any kind of protection, any kind of oxygen when you're going down to her pussy. Here's your idea. I'm going to go down there and I really turn this fucking whore on, this slut on. I'm going to turn her on. She's never going to go anywhere. She's not going to leave me. I've got her. She's hooked, lined, and sinkered. I'm going to eat her out really good. I don't care if I'm gassed and have a headache for a month or anything like that, or my teeth fall out, or my lips expand and swell up. I don't care about none of that. I'm going to eat her out, and she won't leave me, man. Yes, she will. She's been eaten out thousands of times, even by her own father, since she was 14 fucking years old, and her uncle and her fucking two cousins, and she doesn't care about you eating her out. Big fucking deal. Well, I'm going to eat her out. She's never going to... She's hooked now, man. Mm-hmm. She's hooked. Yeah. All right, man. Lumbago. Holy shit, man. What a mamaluke. What a rube you are. That's what you are. A mamaluke, a rube, a fucking mook. Shit used to say when I was a kid. And that's what you are to think that. Pussy hair is actually helping you to survive that thing you're with. She's got 6 pounds of fecal matter, probably more like 25, because she's backed up, because she hasn't shit in a month. Chicks are constipated all the time. They won't let the turd go because the turd reminds them of a dick, and they go long spells without a dick, and they keep the turd in them. They hold on to that. They're always constipated, man. You're fucking that filled with shit and 2 gallons of urine, and you really want, please love me, mommy. Please, please like me. Please love me. I'm sick of going home to a fucking frozen pizza and my fucking box, my TV, my flat panel, whatever you want to call it. But you got to save the pubic hairs off my bed. That's just the one thing. I save the pubic hairs and use them in my F-100 pickup truck. It's a Ford, straight six. Easiest damn engine you ever seen to work on. Big and clunky, made of iron, but you can still pull it out. You can still work on it, man. I've been wasted with this engine in a kitchen and still been able to work on it. Piston rings, expanded rings, honing the cylinders out. It doesn't matter what it is. I can do it. You could do it too instead of this junk they sell you today. And that's what it is, a bunch of goddamn junk. All you got to do is give an American fucking 6 rows of electronic buttons and they'll pay for it. Wow, 6 rows of electronic buttons. What else does a fucking thing do? What does it do, man? Wow. Better not hit anybody with my fucking anti-hitting sensor system. And they're in a goddamn store robbing and smashing the glass out and beating fucking people in the head for $2 items. Better not hit that person. It's all bullshit, isn't it? I got my fucking pubic hair down there. And you have to understand what it is. Nobody has the intellect to understand what it is except your correspondent, Norm Augustinus. There's nobody on the internet like me. There's never going to be anyone on the internet like me ever. When I'm gone, everyone will say, God damn, he was great. You had your chance not to prove it by supporting this fucking, what do you call it? This broadcast? By supporting this broadcast. Go there now, fuckstick. That's what pubic hairs are for. So I like pubic hairs in the bed. Pubic hairs meant I had women that were attentive to my needs. It meant that women understood that the pubic hairs were actually filters around the pussy area, and they were filtering the stench out so I could go down there so I could finger it. I've had chicks that I fingered, honest to God, and I couldn't use my finger for a month or 2 months. If I had a pencil or a pen, if I was doing things with my writing, if I was doing cartoons or anything like that, I couldn't bring my fingers to my nose because I could still smell her pussy. And why is that? Because it impregnates. It builds into, it ingests itself into another man so that a woman can smell that pussy on him and she won't get near him. That's what it's for. It's right there should tell you that you're in a goddamn heap of trouble, a load of problems because he's been marked by her goddamn pussy. Everybody knows that. It's common knowledge, man. Always eat out a chick and make sure she's got fucking pubic hair to filter that stench out. The worst stench on the fucking planet. I don't think it smelled like that when every dinosaur died in this planet, when the Lord decided it was over for them, flooded everything, got rid of them. When they got rid of that, or even if the meteor came, whatever they want to say, the fucking Big Bang Theory, that flesh, all that stuff stunk when it all burned up. That's what a pussy smells like to the average man. You shouldn't have to go down there, man. I mean, I've held my breath and breathed out the side of my mouth. I've told them that I had to get up for a minute and check the pizza in the oven, anything to get a gasp of air, and then hold my air to get back to the bed. I'm like a champion fucking long-time underwater swimmer that holds his breath underwater for records. All men should be that because of holding their breath. That's the number one reason. The number two reason, and when I see pubic hairs, I say to myself this, wow, I'm really plugged in. Chicks want me. They think I'm attractive. They think I'm sexy. They want to hump me. They don't want to hump you because you're ugly. You're ugly So you can accept that you're ugly. You can grow from there. Do you know that you can be so ugly that you can be attractive? Honest to God. You should understand this. I've tried to help you over the fucking years. 25, 30 years I've been doing this. This is nuts. Nobody does it this long. I still use a cassette recorder to make these fucking recordings. Honest to God. A cassette recorder. It's amazing. And it's got an MP3 jack on it. You can take the cassette recorder, plug it in, and actually use it with a USB-C and plug it in and transfer it. And I use a cassette recorder. I'm using it right now. You should try it. You get true sound, true abilities, a cassette recorder on actual fucking magnetic tape. So number two reason is I know that I'm plugged in. I'm in the world. Chicks want me. I'm action. I'm moving here. I'm moving there. I'm sticking and moving. I'm all over the place, aren't I? In the world. It shows me that they still want me. They don't want you. You go home to your fucking brick garage, your single garage, you got your garage door open, you put your F-250 in, you go and watch your pizza, you whack off, and you got your flamp. They don't want you. They're not coming near you for a reason. Even though I've given you all these tips, told you how to do it, they're not coming near you. They're coming near me. They want to always come near me. No matter who it is, even if it's Norm Augustinus, they always come towards a person like me over you. You can use that filter material, the hair that I told you in the bed, the pubic hairs that fall off when you're fucking. You can use those, and you can also build up your furnace filter. Take your furnace filter out. I don't know what it is, 24 by 18, something like that. It's got a cardboard frame. You pull it out. It's got fiberglass or something in it. Cheap. They're $1.50. You can pack that full of pubic hair. You just collect the pubic hairs up in a garbage bag, a Glad 3 mil thick garbage bag. You pack it up. Fill that bag and eventually reach in there and you rebuild your furnace filter with this. Now, if it's made to repel the stink, filter the stench of a woman's pussy, what do you think it could do to your shithole, your house, the thing you got for 30 years or whatever? What do you think it could do for that? Man, it'd be the freshest smelling goddamn house in the world. You wouldn't have to worry about the stench of pussy impregnated in your drywall or your plaster walls or your own old fucking home. I don't worry about that shit anymore with a stench of pussy because I got an ozone generator. I recently got it. An ozone generator produces like O3, they call it. It's an unstable gas or something like that with an extra oxygen atom. And I have that. This unstable thing, it's an oxygen atom. It detaches from motor molecules and changes it back to O2. It's a fucking ozone generator and you use this when you're fucking. Whenever I start to fuck, I bring the box in the bedroom and I put it right next to her and I tell her, I hope you don't mind. Of course they don't mind. They're not thinking anymore. They can't think at all once that cunt turns on. Once that pussy unfurls, that cunt tract unfurls, it unfurls to like a length of 18 inches. Although if you ask Google, Google will tell you the woman's vagina. I'm not shitting you. You think I'm bullshitting you? This should tell you that everything I say is true. You go ask Google right now how long a woman's vagina is, and she'll tell you 2 to 3 inches. Have you ever heard of such bullshit? They got to be dainty. They got to be good. They got to keep lying and lying and lying to you what they really are. A 2-inch, a 3-inch pussy is fucking possible. Everybody's ramming them and cramming them since they're 14 years old. Their cunt is so stretched out, it's unbelievable. It's like a baseball glove, a baseball mitt, a catcher's mitt. The guy that stands behind a fucking batter, who's in a batter box. The batter stands back there with his catcher's mitt. So that's why I like to find pubic hairs in my bed. And when I'm in there fucking, I know that I'm regenerating pubic hairs. I know that if I'm fucking, there's pubic hairs going to be lying in the bed, and I can repack my furnace filter, and I can repack the cabin air filter in my F-100, my Ford 100, with a straight six engine. It's so easy to change anything. It's insane. Got a gosh damn a steel block, for Pete's sake, not some magnesium or aluminum block that cracks the minute you aim some sprayer in it from some car wash because you want to clean your engine, and all you hear is a big fucking cracking sound. Yeah, you just split your fucking block. There you go. So, sorry about that. Now you're nothing. You got no nothing. You got not no car. Now you drive on a bicycle. Look at that. They're laughing at you, trying to hit you and shit. You're no longer a part of anything. Cars aren't so much as transportation as they are as a calling card as they drive past you and they get this slow, light, slight pheromone hit. Here I go. Look at me. Look at this fucking thing. $700 a month. I don't know how the fuck I'm going to pay for it. I hope I maybe can take a dick up my ass. Someone will pay for the next payment. This is what they hope. This is the stupidity of what you're chasing. I don't chase women. They come to me. It sounds ridiculous, but they come to me. Why? Because I'm Norm Augustinus. because of who I am, because of what I say, because of my beliefs, because of my actual DNA, the structural integrity of my skeletal frame and what it encompasses, that's why. They want that. They want to be around it. They want to be around the hot light bulb, the bright light bulb, and that's your correspondent. So I always like to leave the pubic hairs in my bed. Pubic hairs are a good thing. They've got all kinds of shit inside of it. Once the pubic hair is pulled out of the socket, once the pubic hair comes out with a root, what happens, do you think? They've done studies on this. Honest to God. The pussy hair in a petri dish, if it's pulled out by the root, the hair will actually move about like a caterpillar. It'll move about in a petri dish, they've seen this, and it's looking to put that root into something else. The root into some other pubic mound, into some other bitch, the pubic mound, somewhere, get back in there. Because it wants to help man. This is its job, the pubic hair, to help men like you and I survive the night when you're fucking, when you're playing around with her shithole and her goddamn beaver. And this pussy hair, his job, this has got one job, is to find itself, get back into a pubic mound and protect a man like you and I. Clean the air, oxygenate the air, clean the stench out of the air of pussy out of that area. I walk around all the time and I say the same fucking thing. I say this, I'm like in a daze. Always got my thermos with my coffee in it, my peppermint schnapps, or I got my weed with me, or I got whatever I have with me. I always carry my ankle gun in my ankle. And I say to myself, how can this be? How can there be 8 billion people, 6 billion of mer bitches, 5.5 billion of mer bitches? The cunt is so putrid smelling. Why are people running to it? Why do men run to it? When I kick up a diaper, I see a diaper, I don't run to it and smell the shit, do I? When I'm walking around, I find some cum panties, I don't run to them and smell them, do I? Well, maybe I might do that. But I trying to tell you, when I see a dead skunk that's rotting, a dead animal rotting, I don't run to it and smell its shithole when it's been dying or decaying for 4 days. That's what the pussy smells like. Now, what could they possibly be offering you that would make you want to go down there? I don't know. Can't have the tits either. Oh, play with them, look at them, lick them. Yeah, can't take them home with you, can you? Look at you. So I got the oxygen generator, man. The ozone generator, honest to God, it fucking produces ozone, I think O3. They call it O3. Turns it back to regular oxygen, O2. It detaches or something, oxidizes odor-causing molecules. It's a chemical machine and actually works. And you can smell an odor after it's been running for hours or 24 hours. You can actually smell an odor in the room. But the real odors are gone. I use that all the time. The pussy killer box. And don't tell me that the ozone generator, this portable thing you plug in to remove odors, wasn't made for pussy, for people like you and I, normal people like you and I, who can't be subjected to this shit, who can't be stunned, who can't be shocked into this horrible reality of what this thing is. And she's traveling west, east, north, and south, looking for dick, looking for somebody to pay her goddamn bills. Nothing is worth that. There's no pussy in the world worth that, is there? Unless, as you know, she's from Ireland. She's an Irish girl. This Irish lass with red hair, and it goes down the middle of her back. It's not something out of a bottle. This light white skin, pale, like she's been fucking dusted in flour. There she is, walking around in the Irish moors or some shit like that, bringing a goddamn pint, making love to her, this thin thing, size 3 or 5, not some fucking pig. Overeating herself in the cemetery. You understand, if a chick is fat when you meet her, she's going to even be fatter when she marries you, because you're going to pay to keep that fat up. I always think that. I got to pay to keep her fat up, her eating habits up. I can't afford that. I'm going to have to pay for insulin. I'm going to have to pay for diabetes pills. I'm going to have to pay for all sorts of shit. She's so goddamn fat, I'm going to kill her now. Kill her now, Norman. I hear this. Kill her now. Stop this. I hear it. So I want to tell you something, man. I want to tell you something that I think is interesting. And I didn't know if it was interesting, but then it did become interesting because of what I was exposed to, the events that led up to it, all the things that encompass this time, this moment, this memory, this engram that I'm going to share with you. If you understood how valuable engrams and sharing memories and sharing stories with other people, I mean, this is what they did from the day of the caveman. They tell stories and shit. Even if they couldn't speak, they could use their hands and tell stories, mesmerizing stories. Now, can you imagine the kind of storyteller who could keep you captivated just using his hands, his eyes, and his mouth and his grunt sounds? That's the kind of person I wanted to be. Unfortunately, I don't know caveman talk. Unfortunately, I can't live like they lived. So this is the best I got. I can't be the person like them, the storyteller that they are. But I want to sit one day in front of a caveman. I want to go back and I want to hear his story with no words and grunts and moans and hand language and signs in the sand and carvings in the sand he makes with a stick or his finger. I want to see this. I want to be a part of that. Then I'll come back and tell you, I'll be better. Be better, stronger with Steve Austin, whatever he was. So something happened that I thought was worthy. And you're going to say, what is it that you thought was worthy? A woman asked me to come over to her house. Now, this part I really like. This part was over the top. It was through the roof or whatever you want to say, a trombone, symphony. It was just beyond anything I could imagine. She says to me on the phone, now I've talked to her on and off and I've seen her at the county library and I know she likes me. You can tell when a chick likes you because they get super lubricated. Their seam does between her legs, their cunt area, the cunt lips, the labias, whatever. They get super lubricated and they're so wet, at least the chicks I've been with and know, they get so wet that if they start to take a step, they'll sort of do the splits. They'll do the splits, kind of go to the floor, but then catch themselves and come back. And why are they doing the splits? Because their pussy's so wet. It's so super lubed up. And they can't keep a normal walk going. And that happens to me all the time. If that doesn't happen to you, that's another reason you now know that you're a zero. Walking in a fucking continuous line of ugly people, of drones like yourself, going to work in a screw machine factory nonstop. Here I am at the screw machine factory on fucking Thursday. They'll deposit $875 and I'll do it again and again and again and again. You don't have to do that again and again. You're right, you're a correspondent, Norm Augustinus, man. I'll come over there and pump you, and then I'll break a fucking bottle over your head that once had peppermint schnapps in it. I'll throw it through the goddamn window. Maybe my detective friend will hold you by the back of your hair and your fucking underpants, elastic band, and throw you through the window too. I don't really know, but we'll change it up for you. So a woman calls me up on the phone that I've been seeing on and off. And the woman says, Norman. I said, yeah. When they say Norman, it means they're interested in me. They think it's cute. Norman. Get it? Norman. Norman. What does Norman imply? Norman. Norman implies this. Normal man. Right off the bat, I'm winning above you. I don't know what your fucking name is. Ahmed? I don't know what it is. Some Muslim name, some goddamn Arabic name, some slum name. I don't really know. But when they hear Norman, they think normal man. Oh, I could go for that. I could go for a normal man. I've been getting fucked all the time since I was 14, slapped around, hung, tied up, thrown in the woods, fucked out in a tent, dropped and thrown in the water, punched in the face, teeth knocked out, and they think, wow. I mean, that's the average American woman. They think, wow, I could go out with Norman, normal man. When she starts the conversation on a telephone, she says, Norman. And I say, yeah, who is this? Now, this I'm going to talk more gentle here. Because this is what a conversation would be with, like me, if you were, say, a chick calling me. I say, yeah, hi, who is this? She said, it's so-and-so. Should I tell you her name? Because it's a small town. Let's give her something like Timmy. That's not her name. Now, Timmy sounds like a dude. This is a fucking man show. This is no fruit show. I don't want Timmy. Now, why would you say Timmy, Norm? That sounds like a fucking Freudian slip, doesn't it? Her name ain't Timmy, man. Her name's Catherine. Catherine does something like that. So Catherine calls me on the phone and she says, Norman. I said, yeah, how are you? How are you, Catherine? Good hearing from you. This is Catherine? She said, yeah, now I've been talking to her to library and other places. We got a mom and pop store here that's actually a party store and they have a gas pump, but it's owned by the same family for like 80 years. I go there for all my stuff. I just walk there through a field, through the woods. I don't have to drive a car whatsoever. And I get to see nature. I look at the dirt. I wonder how many pussy scalps are buried in the dirt. How many chicks' bones are buried in the dirt. How many pelvic bones I just walked over. How many female chick skulls I just walked over. Because they're killed and buried every year all over the fucking place. And I think that. And sometimes I get a feeling. I think, wow, I just walked over a chick born in 1967. I could feel it. And she was killed and buried here. Mark that spot and come back and dig it up. I'll do that. So Catherine says, can you come over to my house? I said, yeah, sure. What'd you need? And right away, I think, she wants me to do labor. Chicks don't do that. She wants me to do some housekeeping. She wants me to fix a pipe. She wants me to fix a sump pump. She wants me to fix a garage door switch, a light switch, or a garage door opener doesn't work. She wonders if I have any knowledge and I can fix it. Now, it could be that she really wants that fixed, but in most cases, that kind of bullshit is really trying to get me over there, right? Because I'm good looking. I mean, just I said this early in the show, get me over there and see what happens. I said, great. She says, could you come over? I said, why is that? What would you want? I'm kind of busy now, Catherine. Now, I am kind of busy because I'm getting my ice fishing shanty in shape with all kinds of new features. I've got my ice fishing shanty in shape. I've talked to the girl who's got the International Harvester, a friend of mine, that we've done all kinds of things other than fuck, and I made sure that she can pull it out this year. She's still got the International Harvester. She can pull my ice fishing shanty out into the ice, which is practically in the backyard, and I'm just getting preparations ready for the ice fishing season, which is incredible. You want to get pussy. You want to be immersed in total pussy all the time. Take your ice fishing shanty out there on the ice. And you know what? In Michigan, they required you to put your name on the side. Once I put Norm Augustinus, and I've got my sticker on there, and your address, I get all kinds of pussy because chicks think that's the guy with a 15.5-pound cock. I want him to split me open. I want to be hammered with his cock. I want to feel something I never have felt because basically a bitch today feels nothing. They're so far gone, so gone, pitifully gone. It's gone. I mean, just gone. Can't even help him. So I say to her with a thing, I said, yeah, I could do something like that. I've been getting my shanty ready. Incredible stuff with a shanty is I put a small ozone generator in a fishing shanty to also cut the stench of pussy, because when you've got bait in there, it already smells like pussy. But when I'm fucking in there, it smells like pussy times 10. So you got bait and you got pussy. So I thought, I need an ozone generator in an ice fishing shanty that's solar powered. And that was one of my great upgrades for this year. So I said, yeah, Catherine, what's up? She said, I got something I think you'd like. Now, she knows that I'm into mechanics. I like mechanical things. I'm not really a mechanic in any sense of the way, but I like to replace things. I like to unscrew bolts and put parts back in. There's something fulfilling about that. A gasket's bad. The one thing I don't like that's unfulfilling is if, say, you got a Subaru Outback and a fucking blown head gasket and the pistons come out the side and it's impossible. You got to remove the engine, all kinds of shit. The stupidest thing I ever seen. I'd never do something like that. I'm not saying I had something like that. I just never do something like that. So I said, okay, Catherine, what you got? She said, Norm, I wrote down some stuff off of a machine I have in the backyard that my ex-husband, it was belonged to him, but she said I got the house and everything on it as in our divorce settlement. I said, oh, I didn't know you were divorced, Catherine. She said, yeah. Well, now there she is telling me right there that she's divorced and available. Think of that. Divorced, available, and now she maybe has something she wants to give me, and then all equals what? Something to do with her torso, something to do with the spiritual gap, the opening, the vacant area in her brain that she'd like filled by somebody, possibly of the opposite sex like me. So she says, I wrote this down. I said, okay, what is it? What do you got? Do you want it to repair it or what? She said, oh, I'm thinking about if you'd like to have it, if you'd like to, I'd give it to you happily, but I just want to free up some space in the back. I said, so what is it? She said, well, I took the tarp off of it. It's been outside for a while. And she said, though it is sitting on plywood that's raised off the ground. I said, how is it raised off the ground? She said, it's a piece of plywood. And then my ex-husband took 4x4s and pounded them in the ground or dug holes in the ground and mounted the plywood on it, then put this item on top of it and put a cover over it. So that tells me right there. As a man, I know what that means. And if you're a man, you know what that means too. It means this person valued whatever's on top the plywood. They didn't want it on top the cold dirt, the warm dirt, the wet dirt. They didn't want it contracting and expanding. They want whatever they want to do. They wanted it off the ground. And I think, yeah, I'm kind of interested. What is it? She said, well, I wrote it down. I said, all right, Catherine, what is it? She says, it says it's a Polaris Comet LA-600. She said, a Polaris Comet LA-600. I about shit. I got stomach cramps right away. I got dry right away. And I thought, this is it. This is a jackpot. A Polaris Comet LA-600 that I only know about because I collect these machines. I like these kind of machines. Is like this incredible fucking snow machine. Snowmobile, snow machine. I don't know what you call it. I think 400 were ever built. Of the 400 built, like 200 were recalled because they had track problems, engine problems, block problems. And the reason was, it's a snowmobile. It's a snow machine. It only had a 6-horsepower engine. And that 6-horsepower engine is what makes it so valuable, and the distinctive look of it makes it so valuable. It's got a Lawson engine. And the Lawson engine goes all the way back to the steam days. They made steam engines. They were supposed to be high-quality engines, different design, something like a fucking rotary engine, only not a rotary engine, but it got the press of a rotary engine because it was such a revolutionary design. It was a Lawson engine, 6-horsepower. She says it's an LA 600 Polaris Comet. Well, that's a snowmobile. It's an extremely rare snowmobile. And I don't know what year it was, sometime in the 60s. I didn't look it up. 60s, 64, 69. I'm not sure. One year it came out only. It might have been 64 or 65. And she said, if you'd like, I think it's a snow machine, Norman. But she said, I could never get it running. I don't know anything about it. And if you'd like, you could have it. You can come pick it up. Holy shit, man. The thing's worth like fucking $10,000, $15,000 if you can get it running, because there was only 400 built. They're that goddamn rare. I thought they were gone. Everybody thought they were gone. The 200 they took back left 200 left only out there in the world. Of the 200 left out in the world, probably 170 of them have rotted and turned to dirt and rust and just disappeared off the planet. Maybe there's 25 or 50 of them even anywhere. I tried to keep cool. I said, yeah, that sounds great, Catherine. I said to her, I think it's a snowmobile. Yeah, I believe it's a snowmobile. I don't want to tell her it has any value. If she thinks it has any value, she'll be just like a typical bitch. If she thinks it could be worth $10,000 or more, she's going to say, no, I changed my mind. You can't have it. I'm going to put it in. Even in the condition it's in that she described to me on the phone, sitting on a piece of plywood with a canvas tarp over it, that fucking thing's probably worth $2,500 to $5,000, right in that condition alone, just because it's a Polaris Comet, a 60s Polaris Comet, the LA 600. I don't know what the LA stands for. It's LA 600. I really don't know. But I knew it right away when she said it. So I try to play it cool. I say, yeah, that sounds good, Catherine. I like that. What would you like to do? I could pick that up. Now, I hardly ever drive, but I do have the F-100, and I do have a hitch on it. And I also have this smaller trailer that I actually built with two wheels that goes onto the back of the hitch. And I said, yeah, I could pick that up. It's got a little ramp on it that I built. That's the beauty of not having a lot of stuff you don't owe on. You can actually own it and keep improving it. Unfortunately, nobody wants to improve nothing now. As soon as it doesn't work, and they can get rid of it immediately and get another one and invest into fucking more $500, $1,000 a month car payments. I say, yeah, that sounds good. She said, well, I'll tell you what. If you could come over Friday, I'm free sometime afternoon. Come over Friday. And you can look it over, see what you think. And I'd love to give it to you. If you want to take it, you can take it. And she said, you know, I'll have something for us to eat if that's all right with you. And we can sit down and talk and chat. And you can get the snowmobile then, a snow machine. I think she said snow machine. There's two versions of it, snow machine or snowmobile. It depends on where you're from. They're both the same thing. I said, yeah, that sounds good. Friday, I'm in. Thank you. Okay, and then we hang up. You hit the fucking hang up button, the stop button. Whatever the button is, on a fucking phone, on a telephone, man. Whatever you push on the glass, the glass switch, push that. So I pushed it. So I'm pacing the floor. And I'm thinking, holy shit. And I start to look them up and things like that. And they're very rare, just like I said. 400 made, 200 gone. Another fucking 50 maybe still around. The others rusted out. 6-horsepower engine. I mean, that's the beauty of it. A 6-horsepower engine on a snow machine, snowmobile, /snowmobile. It's just incredible. I want this thing. And I think I'm going to put it in my living room. I'm going to make a base for it. I'm going to use the fucking arc welder. I'm going to make a base. I'm going to make a stand. It's going to go in my living room. I'm going to wax it up. And I'm going to recondition it, put it in the living room. I want to look at it every fucking day. I want bitches, when they come over here to suck my fucking cock, to see that and be awed and amazed. See it and see the beauty of this thing and understand that I recognize beauty. I recognize craftsmanship when I'm in there impaling them with my fucking 5-pound dick, my 14-inch dick up their tailpipe. They'll understand that when they see shit like that. So I'm super excited. I start smoking fucking weed, which is pecaning paralyzer, 97% THC. They might as well just take the goddamn leaves away and just pour the THC into a bottle. That's how strong pecaning paralyzer is. That's a Michigan marijuana only grown here, especially up where I'm at. You can get it readily. And I'm fucking smoking that. I'm pacing the floor. I'm twiddling my thumbs. I'm drawing pictures. I start laughing. I do research. And I think, wow, shit just comes to you when you're positive. I don't care what anyone tells you. If you're positive all the time, if you can't be broken down, if you are persistent, nonstop persistent, You can't lose. It's impossible. Whatever fears you have about failing will not last long if you're persistent nonstop, because they just die out. They give up on you and they go to some other shit for brains that they can take down easy and drought and get them out of the scene. Break them down, crush them. And I know that my persistence has caused this. The nonstop ambition and persistence has equaled nothing but success for me. Who gets a call for a fucking free snow machine that's worth 10 grand or more, a very rare snow machine? Nobody. And what did that? My looks? She looked like you? If I looked like you, I'd have got nothing. She'd have gave me what? An old bucket with some gears in it that are rusting out and said, you want these? That's what you would have got. But I don't get that. I'm handsome. Really fucking good to look at. And you would like to look at me too if you were with me. You'd sit there in front of me, awed and amazed. You'd be mesmerized, hypnotized, and you'd be stupefied. And you'd say, Norman, tell me a story. That's how it is with, I don't care who it is. I don't know why. A friend of mine once says, you could sell anything. You can make anything sound good. And it's not fake. I'm a totally honest person. I'm just seeing it the way I see it. So Friday comes up. I'm pacing the floor, I'm beating off, I'm whacking off. I've now, as of late, been fucking, there's a daughter that, this mom and pop store that I messed around with a few years ago, and now she's with an age and she's been coming over. She just walks over, we pump, we 69, we eat each other out, there's rim jobs, there's anal, all kinds of shit. And I just keep my sex machine up, and that's what you have to do. You don't let your brain die out. You don't want your foot to fail. You hope your kneecap doesn't give out. Why would I want my sex machine, my sex unit, to die out from lack of use like you're doing, Grandpa? Why would I want that? I don't want that ever. I want to keep it top fit. So Friday comes along, and I get in an F-100, my Ford 100 with a straight six, and I got my little trailer I built, and I got this little special hitch I designed for it, and all kinds of stuff I work on with this imagination that I have, and I drive over to her house. When I drive over to the house, it's actually a pretty house, and I didn't know that I had passed it so many times before because I'd never been in a situation where she asked me to come to her house, and I looked at this house as I passed it going down a dirt road, and I thought, what a lovely place. I'd like to have that house. Looks like a good place to die. A good place to dig my fucking self-burial system in the backyard and then die. It's just beautiful and serene, laid back. My self-burial thing, by the way, is I dug the hole in advance for myself. And above the hole is the dirt to fill the hole back up. And mixed in with the dirt are flower seeds and grass seeds, so that when I lay in there, there's a tiny little thing that rotates like a panel. When I lay in there and hit this panel, the dirt is released into the hole and I die. I'm buried. I'm already dead, but I knew I was dying. And then say I had something terminal and I'm in a hole. The dirt goes in, the grass grows, and they say, hey, where the fuck did Norm go? What happened to him? Mysteriously vanished. No, I didn't. I buried myself. I took care of it myself. I didn't rely on some fuck-up to rob me and rape me and go up my ass while I'm laying in a fucking funeral home with this big cock, or pull a train on me like they all do at every funeral home. Do they? That's why I've been working on the atomic bomb egg. The atomic bomb egg goes in your asshole. A friend of yours puts it in your asshole when you're dead. If someone tries to bang you out while you're laying face down on that fucking chrome-plated table, a stainless steel table, if they try to bang you out, their dick hits the fucking egg, the atomic bomb egg, and the building blows up and they blow up and there's a one-mile-deep hole right where they were. But I got the last say, didn't I? I didn't get raped. So I get to her house, pull in the driveway, pull up. It's a beautiful place. When she comes out the door, I can smell perfume. I don't know what it is. White diamonds, Clive Christensen number one. I don't know what it is, but it smells good. The door opens, she comes out, and that odor comes with her. It's like a red carpet. It's like an invitation, an introduction from, like, royalty's been introduced, and this big aromatic carpet, this big aromatic entourage comes out with her, and there she's standing there. And I think, wow, she's not bad looking. She's not in the other situation of the library. She's here now. And sort of, I see her in a different light. So she walks me around to the back, and we go to the back, and sure as shit, it's a Polaris Comet, I think they call it Lyle, LA-600, 6-horsepower engine. The 6-horsepower engine in itself has been wrapped. Now, I know this husband loved this thing. He knew the value of it. They actually wrapped it, like, say, it's King Tut's tomb, and you wrapped his balls up and put them back inside of him with special wax paper or wax coating paper like you used to put jelly in World War II. And I think, wow, this fucking guy. His loss is my gain. The divorce from her equals something for me. And that's the beauty of life. You just don't fucking know, man. You walking side to side in your house, looking out the window, 6 feet gap between each house. You got a fucking Muslim on one side ready to cut your head off because you got fruit tendencies. You got another Muslim on the other side wanting to kill you also. And you got to be stuck with that. I don't have that. I got a Glock switch. I got machine guns. I got mines. I just cut them all down, man. Bring them on. Here they come. Allah Akbar with my Glock switch. Allah Akbar. How can he be good if you're cutting my head off? It's just, it doesn't make any sense. So I look at the thing. It's beautiful in every way. It's exceptional, beyond exceptional, that he took care of it. So I take it and I put it on the trailer. Use the little ramp I made, put it on a trailer. I thank her and I got it all up on there. We're giving each other a hug. Now, when I give her a hug, I feel something and I didn't expect to feel that. And she holds me so tightly that I like that. I didn't ever know I liked it, but she holds me tightly, squeezes me hard, and I think, this feels different. This feels more real or something, more female man thing, no competition shit going on. It felt different to be held that tight. I don't know if you've ever been like that. You get some soupy, fucking sloppy, goddamn dead-ass handshake only in the form of a hug from some slot that you can't satisfy. And you're used to that, but that's not how it is. I can tell you that personally. It should be more than that, like what I just described. So we start talking. We're drinking some booze in the house, and she didn't have Jim Beam. I didn't know it, but Jim Beam isn't really the best quality bourbon. I had been drinking it so long on and off that I thought this was the bourbon, but it's not the bourbon. It's a lower-end bourbon. So she has better stuff than that. She got fucking Detroit something, or I don't know which one it is, but one of them was way better. And we start drinking that. Now, I like bourbon without ice. It's not because I'm a tough guy. I don't know why I started drinking it straight when I was younger, because you didn't have ice on you. You just took a shot from the glass and I started to like it. And I like the little burn and all that. You know all that stuff. So it's starting to get late. She's got incense going on and stuff like that. There's incense going on. She's got old LPs playing on a record player. I like the sound of old LPs, actual vinyl records. They sound different than ones and zeros on a CD or in whatever you got to play music. And then she says to me, you know, Norm, it's getting kind of late. You can stay here. And no problem. Instead of driving home, where I live, it's very black. If there's no moon at all, there's no stars. It's very, very black. And it can be scary. We've got brown bears. We got black bears. We got wolverines, which is a state animal. Now, a wolverine is equal to two bears. They're that tough. You don't ever want to get involved with a wolverine. You lose a fucking arm. You might get your neck slit off. You might get your jugular tore out. They're that goddamn tough. Even bears are afraid of wolverines. It's sort of like a badger, I guess, like a honey badger. Same kind of league, maybe worse, though. So, and they're kind of getting low, diminished in Michigan because, as usual, you've got people from the fucking woods coming out, and they think, you think you're a tough guy, and they got their 12-gauge shotgun, and they shoot the eagle out. You're not so tough anymore, the bald eagle, or they shoot the wolverine. You're not so tough anymore. It's like a gunfighter syndrome, that thing taking on, all. Figure it out, man. So I'm in the basement, I mean the first floor. Not the basement, I'm in the first floor. She says, you can have this room, and I go into the room. And it's a nice room. Every room smells fresh. The place is clean as a whistle. And I'm thinking, you know, this chick likes me. Why not? Why not hook up with her? You old age and all that shit. And you beautiful house. If she's anything like this and stayed like this, she's worth it. She's not a mountain of fat, big fat, fucking size 14 or 18 size, big fucking curve. Nothing like that. Maybe you could get used to this. So she says goodnight, gives me that hug again, that really firm hug. And gives me a kiss on the side of the face. And I'm thinking, wow, I don't want her to take the fucking Polaris Comet LA-600 back, so I'll accept it and give her one back. I want to be accommodating, and I want to be a gentleman in every way, not to tell her to give me back the Polaris Comet, which is worth 10 grand that I just clipped from her backyard because she's unaware. So when I lay down on the bed, I think, this is nice. There's somebody upstairs on the second floor. I'm here. I drank booze all night. She had crackers out, these really good crackers with dip, salmon dip or something like that, sort of a reddish, amberish color. I like the whole thing. While I'm in the pillow, while I'm on the bed, I start to smell something. This isn't a joke, no. I start to smell something right when I'm fucking relaxing, right when I'm believing in the possibility of a female, right when I think that there may be more out there, deeper chicks out there raised by a man who can somehow communicate with a real man. I start to smell what I think is pussy. like close-up pussy. And I always carry a penlight flashlight with me, always. Even if I'm in bed in my underwear, I clip the penlight flashlight to the elastic band of my underpants because I just never know. You don't know. As equally inviting as I am that good things come to me, I'm that equally inviting to bad things coming to me. So I have a flashlight, and I take the flashlight off my panties, off my fucking underpants elastic band, and I aim it towards the door, and I think, has she come down here? Has she come down here? Does she want me to split her seam with my Abraham Lincoln log splitter, cut her right in half with my big goddamn dick, hammering it in, jamming her, filling her up with my cum cannoli, ramming her and cramming her, and saving enough strength in my cock to cram her from the rear and bang out her brown eye and go 69? It's just all bullshit. So she's not at the door. Not at the door at all. So I'm smelling pussy somewhere else. And I'm trying to locate where I'm smelling the pussy with regards to me being in this bedroom. And I turn my head around, and I kind of follow the trail of pussy from the blanket area, the end of my sheets where it was folded over. I follow that to the pillow with my penlight flashlight. And I'm smelling the air, and then I drop my head into the pillow, and I'm smelling the pillow, and bingo, jackpot. I'm fucking talking jackpot. The pillow stinks of pussy. Extremely strong pussy when I was really distracted away from the stench and the realities of pussy by this great evening by the Polaris LA600 6 horsepower Larson engine. I was completely distracted by all that shit, but now I'm brought back in. I'm brought back in to the gunfighter I am, only the dick fighter with the biggest dick in the area. I'm brought back into that environment. When I smell the pillow, I sit up on the bed and I aim the flashlight, the penlight flashlight I carry on my elastic band of my underpants, I aim that inside the pillow when I unzip the side of it. It's a better pillowcase. You can unzip it. You can wash it and all kinds of stuff like that. Cheaper ones are sealed. You're supposed to throw them out, not use them for 15 or 20 fucking years like you are. The dirty old thing. And I look inside the pillow, and it's filled with dozens and dozens of pairs of cum panties. Honest to God. And I know they're cum panties because I started like panicking and I'm shaking and reaching around inside the pillowcase, grabbing at shit, and I pull one of them out, and it's panties. They're nice-looking panties, but there's big cum stains in them, big, deep cum stains, like someone had shellacked the crotch of the panty, and that's the cum stain that had dried into like this hard shellac-like thing about an eighth inch thick, 16th of an inch thick, over the panties, and they're all stuffed inside the pillowcase. Not one, but fucking dozens of cum panties inside the pillowcase. Now, here's what I came to. Here's the conclusion, the deduction that I came to with regards to what I was put through, with regards to what I encountered in the first floor of her house. The lady that gave me the 60-something Polaris Comet LA600. I realized that she thought if I smelled the pussy, there'd be no other reason. You wouldn't stuff your pillowcase with cum panties, dirty cum panties that stench, that reek of a highly powered fucking pussy, a powerful pussy, the emanating from the pillow. You wouldn't stuff that in there. The whole place was immaculate. It was a beautiful place. I think that she preloaded this thing. She's got a bag of cum panties somewhere in the house, a plastic bag, a Glad 3mm thick lawn and garden bag. I think she's got a bag of these with a twisty on it. Maybe some kind of Velcro strip. And I think that she keeps these, and then if, say, a dude's coming over, she takes out a handful or two and jams them in a pillowcase of the room she gives them so that they can stay overnight. And why would you do that? Because if you smell pussy, you're going to get turned on, don't you? It's something in the brain. Fucking some God module, some sex module inside the brain that's designed to fucking fire off if it smells pussy. If it smells pussy, we're supposed to, as a man, this goes back to the cave days. Unconsciously, we're supposed to, as a man, find this pussy in the region, find where it goes, track it down, and then fuck it and eat it. And that's what she was doing there. She wanted me to smell this and then find her, locate her, and then cram her with my big dick. Cram her and jam her. Hump her, hump the night away all night long, whatever chicks like to fantasize about, all night long. There is no all night long with any man, all night long. And that's what she wanted. Now, I didn't do that. I didn't do it at all. What I did was I took the pillow away, and I put it in her closet. I put it in the closet, and I didn't put it on a shelf. I just threw it in the floor and slid the doors back. And I did it very quietly, and I went back to the bed, And I made a pillow out of one of the blankets that were on the bed that were making up the bed. I made a pillow and I turned that into a pillow-like nest. It didn't smell like pussy, but I could still smell pussy. And I have to say this. I was fired off. I was fired off. I mean, you mix sex with money, it all comes out the same. Usually with sex, with where there's money, there's sex. Where there's sex, there's money. It's always that way. It's always been that way. And I'm thinking, wow, I got money. I got a $10,000 Polaris Comet snowmobile. Snow machine, 6 horsepower, rare thing. And I smelled pussy. And I did think for a minute, like you might, well, why didn't you just go up there? Why didn't you just go upstairs to the first floor? She was waiting for you to come up there. Tell her you were inundated with a stench of pussy. You want the real thing. You want the creator. You want the broadcaster. You want the fucking originator of the pussy, this sprayer coming out of her gut. You want the real thing. You want to get on it. The freshest stench of pussy you can get. Get in there and work the fuck out of that pussy. Rototill that pussy until her eyes are rolled back like a shark eating a trigger fish, man. But I didn't do that. I didn't do that because she gave me the Polaris snowmobile. I should have done it. She was waiting for it. We drank. She plied me with alcohol. She fucking tried her pussy panties, the crotches of her fucking cum panties. She tried that. I don't know what else she did. There was probably things set up in the house to do that. And I can't blame her. I can't find fault in her, honestly, because what is she supposed to do? She's divorced. She's divorced. She's hungry for dick. She's hungry for the fucking loins of a man. She's hungry for the grip of a man. She's hungry for my two fingers and my thumb pushing against her clit, my index finger and my middle finger moving in and out of her cunt like I'm holding a handgun and I'm playing with her clit. She's hungry for the touch of a fucking man. Why didn't you respond? I just couldn't. I just couldn't, man. Man, she gave me a 64 Polaris Comet. I think it was a 64. An LA600, 6 horsepower engine, a Lawson engine. So fucking rare, no one even knows if they exist anymore. 400 built, 200 recalled. Another 150 in a goddamn dump in the landfills. No one knows where the other 25 or 50 are. But I have one now, and that seemed to me like it would have been a... I could have broke the deal or something. Or I could have fucked her, and maybe she'd have opened up the shed or some shit. And showed me something else, man. I don't really know. I just don't fucking know.
You've been listening to the one and only...
My dick is enormous. There is no escape.
We meet at the big clock. In cyberspace, it's dark out there in cyberspace. It's scary out there in cyberspace. You're out there in cyberspace. You're frozen with fear. You don't know what to do. You're looking up. You're looking down. You're looking to the right. You're looking to the left. It's windy out. You don't know what to do. You're frozen. Till eventually and quite abruptly, you hear this distant chiming clock in the background. And you follow the chiming clock until it gets louder and louder and louder, eventually bringing you upon this brightly illuminated place in cyberspace. There are thousands of people there. They're holding hands. They're smiling. They've been waiting for you. There's that thing that brought you to this place in the first place. It's a tower, 100-150 feet tall, brown bricks, tan mortar. Way at the top of this tower is a glass bezel. It's a clock. It's backlit. And above that is this chimey bell-like thing that brought you to this place in the first place. And you know why you're at this place in the first place. You're here to clear out your pains, your frustrations, your aches, your woes, your disappointments, your hurts. The person that died on you, the ramen noodles you're sick of eating, the credit cards you can't pay off, the apartment you can't pay for, the house you think you'll maybe never own, the bitch who left you, the guy who left you. You're here to clear all those pains and frustrations out. And how do we do that? Well, the moment you heard my voice, you were instantly and automatically filled up with this highly absorbent orange-colored solution. It's been inside your body, sloshing about this entire recording. And now, at the end of this recording, we lie you gently down. We pop the corks in your toes. And all of that highly absorbent orange-colored solution comes gushing out of your body. Look at it. It's forming a small mini lake alongside you. It's orange-colored. It's rusty. It stinks. It's toxic. We shake your feet, getting out the last drops of highly absorbent orange-colored solution and replace the corks in your toes. You can't believe how good you feel. You feel like you can go on another second, another minute, another day, another hour, another year, maybe infinitely. It doesn't matter that a friend of yours is making $250,000 a year and lives in a million-dollar house. It doesn't matter that another friend of yours has got the best-looking bitch you've ever seen, or another friend of yours has the best-looking dude you've ever seen. None of that shit matters. All that matters is how good you feel right now. You know you can feel this good anytime you want to. Anytime you're in duress, anytime you feel like you can't go on another second, all you gotta do is think of the big chiming clock in cyberspace, where you meet your pal, your friend, Norm Augustinus. And instantly, and almost automatically, you'll feel refreshed and clear. You know the best part of this recording, the most important part of this recording, at least to me, is that for 1 hour, we were friends. Friend, I enjoyed myself. I hope you did too. Write me, normaugustinus@gmail.com.
Tune in again for another exciting episode from the amazing mind of Norm Augustinus.
Dear Jane, how are you? I hope you are well. Jane, I am writing you this letter on a typewriter I found in an abandoned house. The typewriter ribbon smelled like pussy, so I know that women probably once exclusively used it. Old typewriter ribbons were known for absorbing odors of all kinds. If the typewriter was used in a kitchen, the typewriter ribbon might smell like bacon. If the typewriter was used in a toilet, the typewriter ribbon might smell like shit. Jane, the other day I went to a big church sale off Van Dyke Avenue. It was at a Lutheran church. It was their annual big sale. For $5, they would give you an empty pillowcase. Anything you could fit into the empty pillowcase was yours to take home. Isn't that a great deal? $5. When I went into the church on the big church sale day, I gave the old woman $5 and then she handed me a pillowcase. However, my pillowcase, the one I could stuff to the brim with anything my heart desired for just $5, already had something inside it. I walked over to the area where they were selling used furniture and I examined the contents inside my pillowcase. Jane, the pillowcase was filled with a couple hundred pairs of heavily soiled women's cum panties. Some of the elastic bands were torn off the cum panties. Some of the cum panties had cigarette burns in them. In addition to the cum panties, I was taken aback by the powerful stench of overly ripe pussy. All the rooms in the church had different themes set up for the big church $5 pillowcase sale. One room was for Christmas. Another room was for old cassettes and CDs. Another room was for used baby clothes. There were many more rooms than just those. Jane, I dumped my putrid-smelling cum panty-filled pillowcase in the coffee pot room in the basement of the church. The room smelled strongly of coffee. I figured the remnants of coffee in the room coming off the old coffee pots and coffee machines that were for sale for the $5 pillowcase sale would mask the stench of pussy in the same way that the odor of marijuana or cocaine can be masked by using coffee from drug-sniffing dogs. I didn't buy another pillowcase. I bought a corn dog for 25 cents instead that were being sold by the pastor, and I went home. Jane, the hand I used to dig through the cum panty-filled pillowcase still smells like pussy, even though I washed my hand dozens of times using lava soap. I gotta go. I have things to do. Write me back when you can. I'd love to hear what's going on in your neck of the woods. Love, Norman. P.S. I bumped into your big-titted little sister at the Apple Cider Festival in downtown Rochester. Your big-titted little sister was giving out paper cups filled with apple cider to anyone who walked past her. When your big-titted little sister saw me, she went into the giant apple cider jug that was 40 feet high and 20 feet wide, and she took off her shirt, brassiere, pants, and panties, and she lied down on the floor inside the apple cider jug. When I went into the enormous apple cider jug, your big big-titted little sister was aiming her cunt and asshole directly at me. Her legs were spread, and her knees were touching her ears. So I ate out your big-titted little sister, and I gave her a rim job. While I was rimming your big-titted little sister, a woman knocked on the side of the giant apple cider jug, and she said,
I know you're in there. I saw the both of you go into the cider jug. I know what you're doing, and I can smell pussy. I don't want any trouble. I just want to be eaten out and rimmed. I have needs, too, and I've had nothing but trouble this whole week. Muslim men want to beat me, and HR bitches won't hire me unless I'm a spick or a darky. Please help me out here. Let me in the jug and eat me out and rim me, or I'll make a fucking scene.
Attention shoppers, this is Baloney Pony, your rare finds and exotic treasure store manager. Ladies, right now at the counter, you can buy a large pillowcase filled with old, soiled cum panties for only $59.95. According to our cum panty vendor, at least 100 pairs of rotting cum-stained panties, or cum panties, will be packed inside these antique pillowcases. The antique pillowcases were taken from cheap motel rooms within a 25-mile radius of the Woodstock Music Festival. Girls simply placed the pillowcase on the truck bed connected to the back of your husband's Dodge Ram. When your man opens the pillowcase, he'll be awed and amazed by your actions, but mostly he'll be sporting a rock-hard boner. To a man, a single pair of soiled cum panties is better than a 500-piece set of Snap-on tools. Now try to imagine his response when you tell your man that there are 100 pairs of cum panties waiting for him inside the old pillowcase. Get ready to take it, honey. The dick is on a glide path to your stretched-out gash. Are you into camping? You can also place the pillowcase near your family's campsite. Your family will be safe thanks to the powerful stench of pussy emanating out from that cum-stained, panty-filled pillowcase. Sugar, the possibilities are endless. There are many more uses for a Woodstock motel room pillowcase packed to the brim with cum-stained panties. Hurry, come on up to the counter now and get your pillowcase this moment. 100 pairs of cum-covered panties with blown-out cotton-ventilated panels in every pillowcase, guaranteed. On a side note, my assistant Mandy Phelps has just shit while selling a $25 gift card to one of our valued customers. Miss Phelps saw Mr. Barry's monstrous limp cock while processing his gift card request. Mr. Barry's dickhead was lying only an inch away from his Adam's apple. According to our assistant manager, Mr. Barry was nude and lying on his back inside his transparent plexiglass iron lung machine, the only iron lung machine of its kind in the world. When Mandy saw Mr. Barry's shit collection bag, urine collection bag, and colossal cock, her asshole suddenly gave way, and she shit! Mandy Phelps has irritable bowel syndrome.
Yesterday I got a ride with Uber and I shit all over his velour front seat. I also shit on his stick shift and into his drink holders. I can't sit in the back seat because I know people fuck back there and they eat each other out and they give one another rim jobs. A week ago I shit into the end of a freshly baked loaf of bread. I was standing in a bakery and I had to go, so I jammed the end of a loaf of uncut bread into my crap hole and I filled the loaf with a couple of pounds of my hot bubbling shit. I can't stop shitting. I need help.
In addition to irritable bowel syndrome, Mandy's extremely horny. It is likely that Mr. Barry's mammoth cock switched on Miss Phelps' hungry pussy, and that's why she shit.
I got tired of looking for big dicks to show up and fill up my meat-hungry fuckhole. A month ago, I had my cunt tract repositioned to the outside of my body. Now, all I gotta do is massage my cunt tract with my hands because my sugar walls are now on the outside of my body. I can play with my pussy while I am at my desk at work. I simply take my cunt tract out of my pants pocket and I unroll my pussy tract and I play with it. Sometimes I lay my pussy tract on my kitchen counter and I use my baking rolling pin and I roll my cunt tract for hours and I come again and again. Sometimes I put 2 cups of flour onto my cunt tract. I knead the flour into my sugar walls and I pretend I'm making a pie out of my pie. Isn't that funny?
Is there anyone in the store that can help my assistant squeegee this shit off Mr. Barry's plexiglass iron lung machine? This has been Baloney Pony, your rare finds and exotic treasure store manager. That is all.
Fuck! Fuck!
Ah!
Fuck!
Ah!
Fuck!
Ah!
Fuck!
Ah!
Women are constipated 3 times more than men.
When you're walking down the halls and your balls hit the walls, it's a rupture.
Dick!